You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
2024 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup, AFCON, and of course, Premier League action. Beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports Pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King across their huge HD screens. And if you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on. Their venues offer a range of low and no alcohol options too. So dry January doesn't mean you have to settle for a worse sporting watching environment. So check it out. Green King Sports Pubs. Spurs fans around the world, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and the assembled throng here at the Albany Pub in London's glamorous West End, welcome to a very special Spurs show with our very special guest, Terry Naylor. My name's Theo Delaney. Martin Lipton joins us again. Thanks for coming, Martin.
A pleasure indeed.
Terry, so great to have you back. Really appreciate you coming along. You've been on this stage twice before. Firstly, to talk about your career, and then 3 years ago to discuss your autobiography, which is a fantastic read. And you discussed some of the extraordinary stories that came out of that book. So, but tonight we want to talk to you about the key people you worked with at Tottenham over the years and sundry other matters. I should say there are copies of Terry's book here available. Should anyone want to get one and get one signed, they can be purchased here, and I do recommend it. So, big personalities, Terry. Your tenure at Spurs, it's about 11 years, wasn't it? 69 to 1980. So when you think about it, you think of that period, there were a hell of a lot of massive personalities in the club over that period. The overarching, the biggest figure perhaps in the history of our great club still now, I would say, is Bill Nicholson.
Yeah.
What are your abiding memories of Bill Nicholson? Like, first of all, when he first signed you?
When he first signed me... I'd had a couple of trials for Tottenham and passed through to the next round. So, and then I got in the youth team. I was 18 at that time, which is quite old, really. But youth team, 18, that's the maximum you can be.
Yeah.
And I found the plan with better players, you're a better player yourself, you become, so they can read your game. Absolutely, Bill Nicholson was a god, you know, irrespective... I was like Tottenham or not, what he'd done, and you know, first team to do the double, British team, first British team to win a European trophy.
Yeah.
And it's all down to Bill Nicholson. And he had a great number two with Eddie Bailey also, who Eddie run the reserve team now.
Yeah.
And the standard was great. Some, you know, some players you'd look and you go, is he as good as I thought he was? You have to do it when you're training. You think, I've got a lot of respect for all of them.
Yeah.
For getting in that side and to play in the first division, you've got to be a great player, you know. And we had so many great players. I mean, truly,
actual
names
greats.
in that team.
Yeah.
And I walked into the dressing room, in one of the breaks. I've been there about a week. And I looked round the dressing room and I thought, I'm the only person in this room I don't know.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, well, they know me soon, I hope.
Yeah. But what was he like if you're a kid like that and you're hoping, I mean, presumably, you when you get to 18, you're thinking, will I, won't I get signed here? Am I going to get taken on? Does Bill rate me enough?
No, that never came into my thought at all, funny enough. I was progressing because where I had the advantage on the other boys, you know, who'd been brought up in a little bit of cotton wool, being apprentices and then coming through, I had to get up at 4 o'clock every morning working down the meat market for 3 years.
Hence your nickname, Meat Hook.
Meat Hook, and yeah, what's the other one?
Nutty Nailer.
Nutty Nailer, yeah. So they're not the best of names.
Well, just one of those names would make you a bit nervous, both of them.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
No, truly magnificent. Like a king, Bill Nicholson, to me. He was just...
Yeah.
And when he done his team talks, they were short but sharp.
Yeah.
And he'd say things like, you know, blah, 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 blah. We remember we played in Europe once, and I've been playing for about... Well, I got the first year I was at Tottenham, I had 3 games. The second year I had 6, and the third year I think I had 9. Then I got in the team because Bill Nicholson's standing was this... If you've got that place and it's yours and you get injured, as soon as you're fit, if you're right to play, you'll come straight back in.
Right.
And so you had to take, and the likes of myself, Johnny Pratt, Tony Want, Jimmy Pearce, Peter Collins, we had to take that week in, week out, when in the combination league, you know, we was sort of outstanding. They was outstanding. I won't even talk about myself. They was all Tony Want, Johnny Pratt, you know, Peter. Great players, terrific players. And Bill Nick was like a god. There's no question about it, you know. And I remember, with doing, free kicks in training, and the greatest of all the strikers, Jimmy Greaves, was taking a free kick. Like, Bill Nick put the ball down. Right, come on then, we'll do a couple of free kicks. So as we've lined the wall up, I'm playing, obviously, for the defence, and Jimmy's put the ball down and stepped back, and Bill Nick was saying, what are you waiting for? He said... The wall's no good, Bill. Fucking hell, Greaves, he said. Get on with the fucking game. He said, no, the wall's no good, I'm telling you. So, all right. Run up, he went ping, straight in the top corner. And Bill Nick went, right, we'll do some free kicks now over there in corners. Completely off the subject. Wouldn't say that Jimmy Greaves was right.
Right, no.
But he had respect of every player.
Yeah.
And when you was at Tottenham, I mean... When you was talking earlier about the players we've got now, and I think we've got a fabulous team now, not enough for a great squad because we've not got enough players.
Mm-hmm.
And this was always going to be the problem when we get injuries. Unfortunately, we got a sending off and 2 injuries in 1 game, and it really hurt us. You've got to add today 20 players. If you haven't got 20 players, can go on that pitch and play as good as anyone else in that position... then you haven't got a prayer, really, being in the top four.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. Good luck. I'm well pleased. What I'm going to say now is the Arsenal, they've got 7 midfield players, but they can only play 4.
Yeah.
So them 3 that's not playing ain't happy with the other people got their place. So you're going to get uneasiness there. And I say, good luck. Have the uneasiness. You know, you're always sharing what you can do.
Yeah.
Let's see you do it.
But you live in Arsenal country, don't you? Do you still live there?
Yeah. As a kid, I got to put my hands up. I supported Arsenal because that's where I lived.
Right.
Yeah, I think, well, it must have been, till I see Spurs play.
Someone told me a story that you like to walk up and down Upper Street wearing a Spurs shirt.
I loved it. Now, listen, you've got to picture this. When they lose the Arsenal, you don't see them for 3 or 4 days. Honestly, you just don't see them out and about. And be, oh, it's good old Arsenal. And so I think you're cowards, you know. Yeah. Come out when you get beat. We get beat at Tottenham, we come out with our chest held high.
Yeah.
So, of course, when they get beat, I'll go out with a Spurs shirt, walking up and down. And what do? They go, look, walk past. But it's great to have that edge, you know, because that's the way things are. It's a great rivalry. But, sorry, getting back to what we were saying, when you was mentioning the players who's playing today, and they're terrific players, don't get me wrong. Obviously, we miss Harry Kane. We're playing a different game now. We're playing a different way. But we are keeping the ball, looking very dangerous on the break.
Yeah.
Harry would improve any team. If he came back tomorrow, we'd be an even better team, obviously.
Yeah.
But being as he's not there, we've got to carry on now, regardless, and build a squad that can go out and play against anyone. And I think that's what this fella's doing. I think he's we've had Conte, who was a nutcase. Mourinho was a nutcase.
See, you
go through the history. Bill Shankly, Don Revie, Brian Clough, Bill Nicholson. 15 years, right? That's it. They go after 15 years. For whatever reason, it's like a battery runs out.
Mm.
And Conte's one of them, and Mourinho was one of them as well.
Mm.
So, right, and also all that about I did this. No, it's the team did this.
See, and
that's their problem. But the first Spurs team I played for, they was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Every player, every position, you know.
Yeah.
And Stevie Perryman, a baby at 18 then, you know, I'm 21. He's like 19, 18. And being like another Dave McKay, tremendous player.
Yeah.
Alan Mullery, Martin Peters, you know, world class. Martin Chivers, world class. Gilly, where are you going to get a player that we call Gilly's little flick-ons and all that, you know? Mike England's, you know, well, you know, he was a brilliant player, Mike England.
Yeah.
And, always, we called him Bungalow at Tottenham.
Why's that?
Nothing upstairs.
Really?
But, you know, he didn't... Oh, he didn't know that.
Let's hope he's not listening.
No, but the respect we have for each other was fantastic. And if you went in that team, you was expected of every other player in that team to give 150%.
Yeah, I mean, that team is the first team that I remember that I fell in love with, you know, as a kid. Martin, are you old enough to remember?
Yeah. So my first game was 73. So So you may well have been playing. It was a game against Stoke. You won 4-3.
Yeah.
October 73, a long time ago. But it was on the telly. It was on the big match.
Yeah.
John Fatt scored twice, I think, in that game.
Oh, he's a good finisher, John. You know, another player you mentioned is Johnny Pratt. You know, the Spurs players' supporters seem like they got on his back a bit, but I don't. It's only the usual people get on certain people's backs.
Yeah.
But Johnny scores some marvellous goals, and he always give 100%. You know, and you can't ask anyone for any more. And he loved the club. I think he was at the club about 12, 13 years.
There was a lot more permanence in squads then, weren't
there?
Players stayed a lot longer.
Absolutely.
And that built, I guess, that sense of you all being part of the club. But when you first meet Bill Nicholson, you know, you'd have been bloody, oh, this is one of the great managers.
Oh, yeah.
How did you find? Were you scared to approach him? Were you...
No, I mean...
I mean, you're not sort of somebody who comes back with coming forwards, are you? So,
no.
But was it boss? Was it Mr. Nicholson?
I was shrewd enough to say the right things at the right time, but I thought, you know, when he brought me in for me he's going to sign me. When he signed me, I was on £18 a week down the meat market, and he signed me for £80 a week.
Wow.
And I went in to see him a couple of years later, and of course your money goes up like 200 or 300 or whatever. And he said to me, why do you think you deserve a rise? So I said, well, Bill, I said, I look at the players who play my position. I've quite utilised me, really. I could play right, left, back, double centre-half, you know. Like, holding player midfield. Wasn't hard for me. It was easy because I was so fit, naturally.
Yeah.
And I look at Bobby Moore. Listen to the players I'm talking about. I look at Bobby Moore, Colin Todd, you know, And I compare myself with them, Bill, and I think, Bobby Moore's lovely, brilliant on the ball. Reeves the game, brilliant. Colin Todd's quick, on quick. I don't give the ball away. My distribution's good. He's saying yes. I says, pace-wise, I'm probably quicker than most people in my position, nearly everywhere. He went, yes. Anyway, I've got about five yeses off him. I thought, there's got to be a cashier somewhere. But no, at the end of it, he went, OK. He said, what about in the air? Now, I was 5'10½, but I was OK. I was good at it.
Yeah.
But I went, yeah, I'll give you that, Bill. I'll come back afternoons and I'm going to work on my heading as well. So I get it. He went, all right, you got your eyes, there you go.
Great.
And Cliff Jones went in there before me.
Yeah.
You must know this.
Yeah.
He went in, he says, yes, Cliff, how can I help you? He said, I want a rise, Bill. He said, what do you mean you want a rise? He said, well, I want a rise. He said, why? He said, I'm the best winger in the country. In the world, yeah. He said, who told you that? He said, all the papers, Bill. All the papers said, I'm the best player in the world. So I want a rise. He went, Cliff, shut the door on the way out, please. And out he went.
Yeah.
2 days later, he called Cliff in and gave him his rise.
Right.
But he wouldn't be dictated to, Bill.
Yeah.
He would not be... You know, the amount of respect you have for him was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. But he... What I mean, he's an absolutely fascinating character. People always said he was hard. He never praised people very much.
No, he didn't.
He was uncompromising. He was totally committed. He always said that thing about the fans being the most important people. But so he's a disciplinarian. You didn't get away with much. And yet, at the same time, there's a perception of that age for football that... it was a bit wild, and that everyone, like the drinking culture was, obviously there's no drinking culture now, really, in football, but in those days, drinking was a big part of it. Gilly was a legendary drinker, for example.
Yeah.
So how did those two things, that sounds like a contradiction, so did he turn a blind eye to your wilder, I mean, was there a lot of wild behaviour, first of all?
No, with Bill Nicholson, as long as you won your next game, he overlooked everything that happened.
Right.
Overlooked it completely.
He's only about one.
Didn't want to know about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, we went to Japan and we had a game the next day and we got in, we beat them, and then we got in, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I phoned every director up, and as they went, hello. Anyway, so next morning, they've all gone, Bill, they said, we was woke up in the night, all of us, the four of us. He said, what do you mean you was woke up? Well, we got a phone call, each of us, and it was a laughing bag or something, which it was. And Bill went, nah, he said, you're getting mixed up. He said, my boys was all in by 10. I was sitting in here, in the lounge.
Right.
And they went, oh, all right then, Bill, we must be wrong.
Okay.
So he did, he backed you.
So that's really interesting. So, yeah, so as far as he's concerned, if you're winning, it doesn't give a toss what you're doing. If you're winning and you're playing well, that's fine.
Well, let's say he don't want to know about what you're doing.
Yeah, he's turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
You put it right in front of him, he doesn't have to react, but he's not going to get involved.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's a man management skill, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think Alec Ferguson was like that, wasn't he, where he'd be like, he would indulge certain players.
Yeah. Certain players had a lot more leeway than others.
Yeah, because he was a pragmatic, same as Nicholson. It's only about the result.
Don't try and tell Cantona what to do. Just
pointless.
Go and do it. Yeah. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Other players... He came down really hard on Lee Sharp. He came down really hard on, and that's why he booted him out of the club eventually.
Yeah.
He did it with Ince when he thought Ince was getting too big for his boots.
Yeah,
Jap Stam he sold again, which was a big mistake actually in 2000. Others he would definitely give them a lot more latitude.
Well, you had about four of them, didn't you? Outstanding managers all together, and then Clough was probably the youngest of them coming through.
Yeah.
And
there was Busby, wasn't there? And then there was Shankly, Revie, Clough, and Nicholson. Yeah.
Jock
and then
Steen
later on,
Scotland.
Jock Steen in Scotland. And then later on you had Ferguson, I suppose, who was a sort of, I suppose, sort of...
Absolutely. Ferguson,
but they're all
to take her off to him. He'd done a marvellous job there.
Yeah,
with especially coming... The money he saved them with bringing through youth players was astronomical, really.
So, in the... You know, that early 70s side was really good, but in the middle of the 70s... Things there was a sort of a U-shaped decade, wasn't it? The '70s.
Yeah. Well, it was a funny thing, really, because we'd got through to the UEFA Cup final. We were playing Feyenoord. And this is 1974, but it was also the same time that Bill had been there 15, 15 years. He'd had sort of your Martin Chivers, your Cyril Knowles, your Mike England, your Alan Mullery. Was all like on the way sort of to lower leagues or stop finishing the game, like another sort of couple of years there. And whereas the aspiring players like myself, young, coming through, was looking to get them trophies and like to do this. Mm. But I think it's just the way that things are in general. You've just got to like be up, stand up, be a man, and
yeah,
and play to your best of ability.
So it was a classic case of a good. I mean, he built two good teams, really good teams, yeah, didn't he? I mean, yeah, obviously the 61 yeah team, one of the greatest teams yeah of all time.
Yeah.
But then 10 years later, a totally different team wins three trophies. But yeah then that team, as you say, starts coming to the end of it, like all teams do.
Yeah.
They're
aging together.
Yeah. But yeah you and Johnny Pratt were younger, so you actually bridged it, didn't you?
Oh,
you
yeah
were still there when the next big team came
yeah
through.
Yeah, but this is the but. We didn't have players like the players that was on the verge of retiring in then.
No.
Who'd been at Tottenham, for, as you said, for 6 or 8
yeah
years.
Yeah.
These, Martin Peters, Martin Chivers, Gary, yeah, well, Cyril Knowles, yeah, Mike England, yeah, Pat Jennings, world-class.
Top-class
players.
Yeah.
And they must know, I say world-class, because yeah when I look at other great players on the television, I compare them to certain, like, say, Cyril Knowles. And I think they was better. You know,
yeah,
they was so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah, when you go from, you know, Chivers and Gilzean, within a couple of years, and no disrespect, it was Chris Jones...
Yeah.
And
yeah
Jerry Armstrong,
Ian Moores,
and John Duncan, and
yeah
at the back you've got Barry Daines in goal, who's yeah you know was there forever, but
yeah,
and
it's done all right, Barry Daines.
Yeah, 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 they all, they all
but
did all right.
It's a drop off from Pat, wasn't
yeah
it?
You know?
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
it was
Tony
a.
Parks.
So when we think of the 70s, the mid-70s was a tough time for Tottenham fans.
Yeah.
Strange time for football, because it's when the gates started to drop off and. And there was a lot of negative football, but of course we all look back, and there were two types of footballers then, which you don't quite see this in the same way. In those, you had those sort of maverick geniuses, people like Stan Bowles and
yeah
Tony Curry and Rodney
yeah
Marsh, who would just do incredible things.
You're going to say Alfie Conn here, aren't you? It's going to
Alfie Conn. Well, Alfie Conn, absolutely, very much in that breed. And Alfie Conn sat here;
yeah
he was great. But you also got that other breed of players that don't really exist anymore, which is your Chopper Harris, Norman Hunt, Peter Story.
You can't do it.
What were they like to play against? Though? What were those, in terms of the physical battles and the, you know, the basically the kind of assault that often went on in those people?
And who was the nastiest? Who was the one you really didn't like?
Tommy Smith's a good one.
Tommy Smith was a genuine hard player, though. If you looked at all them Leeds players, I think other than Paul Madeley and... Eddie Gray, they all went over the top, all
yeah
the others,
yeah
on purpose,
yeah
to do you, you know,
yeah
even Clark and all that, you know. And, you know, you got to know your players who do that, so when you come in and tackle, let them get there first.
Right.
And then you do them.
Okay.
that's the game, because if you get there first, you're going to
yeah
get done.
Yeah.
And you know it, you know what,
yeah
what you're doing. But, you know, it's an honourable part of the game. But
yeah. Which, as
yeah
you say, it doesn't happen anymore because it's been taken out, which is a good thing, because there are fewer broken legs.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
But out of all that lot, who were the ones that you were the nastiest or perhaps the most dangerous? I mean, Hunter and Smith and Harris and Story.
I think you said Tommy Smith, a story about Tommy Smith. He was in Spain on tour, and it was in a break, and I'm roomed up with Tony Want, and all of a sudden we heard someone singing under our window. And we looked down, it was Tommy Smith, because they was out there in
right
Liverpool. Oh, you know. I said, fuck me, he's had enough. All of a sudden, he walks into the lamppost on my life. And I looked at Tony, when he looks at me, we looked at Tommy, and a chunk come out of the fucking top. And he carried on. And that's the truth. That is God's truth, honestly.
Yeah. And he was a decent player, like a lot of those hard
very
men.
Good footballer.
Good footballer. Yeah, really
very,
good footballer.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what all the Liverpool fans
yeah
will tell you that, because
yeah
we all remember him just as a psycho.
Yeah,
but he's actually a very good...
He was a very good player.
But then, of course, Norman Hunter was a very good footballer,
very good
wasn't
player,
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And as for the Mavericks, let's talk about Alfie Conn. What do you remember about Alfie?
fantastic player.
Yeah. I was at that game, and I
actually
asked Terry, and I went, "Tell what happened then?" Because
was it
Leeds?
It was a Leeds game, wasn't it? And they,
Winter stay up.
Yeah.
Yes.
End of the season.
Had to win to stay up, and they were taking it easy because they were going to the European Cup final.
That's
but
it,
there's a story that I don't know if this is true, but Alfie Conn sits on the ball. He's really enjoying himself.
Yeah.
And Bremner, I think at half time, gets hold of whoever was, it must have been Mullery or Perriman, I think.
Yeah.
And says, "Listen, we know what's going on here, but if he keeps taking the piss, we're going to start playing."
Well, if you didn't wait till half time, Billy Bremner actually said it to me. He went, "Tell him."
Oh, right.
He said, "Get all that little C-U-N-T." He said, "This, we're going to start playing." And I went, all right. Fuck it, we're 3-0 up. I went, all right, easy going, Elf, easy going. All of a sudden, Lorimer scored a 35-yarder. And I went, "Elfie, behave yourself." "Oh, your bottle goes. See how your bottle goes?" "Oh, that's 3-1
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Elfie Cobb was a marvellous player.
Marvellous player. Just great natural flair and
natural
showmanship.
But silly things would upset him, and he'd be off his game for half an hour. Say, "Elf, what are you doing? Come on, get hold of the ball, mate. I'll win it. You'll get it, bang."
Yeah.
And by and large, he did it. But he had even more talent than he should. He showed us, because, you know.
Yeah, and he didn't hang around long. We had about two good seasons out of him, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's
probably.
All.
He went between. He was
Bill Nick's last signing, was
I think so. But he played Rangers and Celtic, didn't he?
Yeah.
Not too many of them.
One of the first to do it.
He played Rangers first, didn't he?
Yeah, he came from Rangers and went back up to Celtic, didn't he?
But he went to Tottenham, didn't he?
Yeah, Tottenham, Celtic, I think.
He left Rangers.
Yeah.
So all their supporters hated him.
Right.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Then he went to Tottenham.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone hated him in Scotland.
Yeah.
Then he went to Celtic.
Yeah.
And they said, "We don't want a Rangers player."
And the Rangers fans already hated him. They hated
everyone hated him.
I seem to remember him saying that now you mention it. I think he had to be careful walking around Glasgow. Yeah.
Yeah, he was barracked by everyone. But Elfie, you know, he was such a... He was like... Who I could compare him with would have to be Gascoigne, I think.
Yeah. Similar sort of build and explosive.
And, like, similar sort of can be a bit loopy at times, you know. But loopiness can be brilliant at times. And
yeah.
But then, obviously, when he goes, there's a void in that squad, which a young 17, 18-year-old boy from Harlow's going to fill, isn't it, in Glenn? Because you'd have seen him.
Yes. Marvellous.
Do you remember when you first couple of times you saw him?
I was actually having a physical test, like, you know, on my fitness, and, like, he was knocking some balls up to me, like, bang, I'm going over to getting the ball, knocking it back, and all of a sudden I'm knocking it back, like, and it's sort of this side of the ball's coming in. He's putting his right leg up and bringing it down like that. I thought, he's got something special here.
Yeah.
And when I room with him, I found out he had.
Right.
No, no, mate, that was a little bit of a joke. Slip one in there. No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it in my head that I couldn't give him this accolade of the greatest player ever to play at Tottenham. I'd love to, because he was that good.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way he talks about Tottenham these days.
Really?
He doesn't give us the glory that we should offer men. Yeah, I don't think he talks well enough about Spurs. I really don't.
Do you think he's trying too hard to be, because everyone expects him to be biased in favour of Tottenham? Do you think he's overcompensating?
Well, it's been 20 years now, isn't it? It's been 20 years, and he says some silly things about Spurs supporters, you know, and you're thinking, come on, Glenn, they made you, they give you your name. I remember saying, knocking that ball up you when you was a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You was lucky enough to get there and do it. And you're an absolute genius, no
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
Genius on the ball. And as I say, probably the best, arguably the best player that's ever played with Tottenham.
Yeah.
He's got to be up there with him.
Yeah.
But Dave McKay, you know, a little story about Dave McKay. You talk about how important Tottenham was to players. When Dave McKay broke his leg and left Tottenham and went to Derby, mm-hmm. they played us on, I think it was a Wednesday evening, and they beat us 5-2. And he was like player manager or something, Dave.
Yeah.
So Johnny Pratt says to Dave McKay, he said, Dave, fucking brilliant. Well, Dave went, all right, Johnny. He went, yeah, he went, how comes you left Tottenham?
Mm.
He went, because I weren't good enough for Tottenham anymore.
Wow.
And that's what a great man says that.
Yeah.
That was his words. I weren't good enough for Tottenham anymore. He had just gone out
he's
and
come
had a
back
blinder.
And pulled the strings and
yeah.
beat 1-5-2 and then he's gone and won
remarkable
the title, didn't
yeah.
he, as the manager?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remarkable man.
Yeah. I had the enormous... Yeah. I mean, I made some films for the 125th anniversary and I interviewed loads of great people. But
yeah.
he... I'd never seen him play because
yeah.
I was just slightly
yeah.
too young.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got in the room with him... I mean, he had an extraordinary presence about
yeah.
him, an aura
yeah,
about him,
did.
Which was like nobody else,
no.
I think, no other, certainly no other footballer I've ever...
No, I agree. No, he was... so I'd have to... Stevie Perryman's got to be there.
Yeah.
I remember the story when he signed... It was funny. It looked like the darling of Arsenal should have signed Charlie George, who you know, was about to sign for Tottenham. But Terry Neill made his big thing press for him.
I'm not that old.
We lost Charlie.
He
went to Derby.
Oh, yeah.
Dave McKay signed him
for Derby, Charlie George, yeah.
Victor Alton. Victor Alton, who was the newsreader.
Yeah, very good.
And he said, get that phone up. So I picked up the phone, and it is Victor Alton saying, you can't leave Arsenal to join Tottenham. You're the darling of Arsenal. And he did it in the end because he went to Derby.
Mm-hmm.
It's all because Terry Neill wanted photographers there.
That's it.
It was 10 o'clock at night, so he said, we're doing the following morning. Dave McKay found out and signed him the first thing for Derby.
So Dave,
yeah, brilliant poach, wasn't it? On his day, Charlie, another one of them.
Lesson then: if you're going to sign a player, sign him then.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the following
day.
Yeah. But Charlie George in a Spurs shirt would have been a strange thing because he was such a great player.
Charlie's a bit too honest, you know. I mean, I'm Spurs right through my heart,
yeah.
like, you know what I mean? But Charlie's too honest, you know. He say, no, we go to Spurs. What's the difference? Another club.
Okay.
But he was another very gifted player.
Yeah.
You know, and take me out after Charlie. Probably if he'd have been, like, a bit harder, a bit stronger, like Martin Chivers. I mean, Martin Chivers, he was built like an heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
But... he never sort of got involved with centre-halves and knocked them about, like
yeah.
Drogba did. Drogba was like a
yeah.
stone lighter, but he'd knock centre-halves about. Martin wouldn't.
And that was the source of quite a lot of disagreements between him and Eddie Bailey and Bill Nicholson,
yeah.
wasn't
yeah.
it? They thought he
yeah.
needed to do more on
he
that.
He needed to be more physical, definitely. Yeah.
yeah definitely. And, but what was he... What, do you think he just didn't fancy it, that sort of thing, or...?
Yeah, I think it's got to be in you. It's
yeah.
It's in you to do a thing. I mean, listen, he was... brilliantly skillful,
yeah.
could score goals,
yeah.
terrific in the air, had a right long throw, it came
yes.
hand in hand,
yes.
and had pace.
Yeah.
So what is he lacking?
Yeah.
Character. You can't have it all.
Yeah.
So no one can really have it all. Very.
Yeah.
Very
it's a bit like the old, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Yeah.
What has Martin Chivers ever done for us? You list all those attributes, you think, well, he's entitled to have one defect, isn't he?
Yeah, oh.
I mean, he was my absolute hero.
He knew he was a
little
kid. He knew he was a good player, mate.
Yeah, so he wasn't going to take too much.
Funny enough, I thought he was a silver spoon man. You know, like, he'd sort of gone through the teams in Southampton, 15, going to school, played for the county and all that. But when I actually spoke to him, he said, no, he said, I asked my dad to write off for a trial for me for Southampton, and he wouldn't do it. So I did it myself, and I went down there and had a trial. And hats off to him. Now, I respected him a lot more for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wanted it that bad.
Yeah.
But I think people like mine, things come so easy and too easy, maybe.
Yeah.
And he always wanted you to say he's doing well. Well done, Martin, done that. He loved that.
Okay,
He didn't like criticism.
Yeah. But what did you... So what was it like? You came through that 70s, period that, the team goes down and everything, and then everything changes.
Yeah.
Terry Neill era, which no one here looks back on with any fondness, because we always thought of him as an Arsenal man.
Yeah.
And, of course, as soon as he could...
He was never accepted.
He was never accepted, and before, as soon as he got the chance, he was off to the Arsenal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But Keith Birkinshaw... When Keith Birkinshaw took over, you must have been thinking, this club isn't what it was. This team isn't what it was. This guy, Keith Birkinshaw, is not a famous... He's not a big deal guy. He's got no profile at all. And like you just said, all of those massive top-class, world-class players have all gone, basically. They've all gone. Was there anything about Birkinshaw that made you think he could rebuild and create the team that he did?
I think... the three Cockneys, myself, Johnny Pratt and Stevie Perryman, spoke to Keith about the players and the game and what we needed, because, the gap between the players that had gone 4 or 5 years before and themselves was massive, But if they're not good enough, you can't make them any better unless they're willing to do that. Mm. And, It's so hard, really, when you, as I say, you don't realise how good it was. When I look back, when I've done my debut for Tottenham and playing for the first sort of 8 or 9 years, the great games I played in, the great people I played with, let alone, and played against.
Mm.
I marked Georgie Best twice, which for me was fantastic.
Yeah.
But we had such class players, you just lost them all.
Yeah,
You lost 8 out of 11.
Yeah,
Pat was still there. God bless him.
Yeah,
and Keith got rid of Pat.
Yeah,
because he thought he was injury prone.
Yeah,
what's he then doing? Playing 5 years at Arsenal.
Yeah.
But mistakes, you're going to make.
Yeah,
all in all, take me out to Keith Birkinshaw. I didn't always see eye to eye with him, but he done great. I think in the end to get. But you know who that was down to? The two Argentinians, Ozzy and Ricky.
Yeah.
He told Keith, Terry Neill, that they're available. Get them. Do yourself a favour.
Terry Neill told him.
Terry Neill said.
So Terry didn't. If he'd wanted him himself, he could have probably nipped in and.
Yeah.
But
maybe he was okay for forwards then, but as you know, for that 3-year period, we was lacking a centre forward, a proper one.
Yeah.
John Duncan done very well for us.
He did, scored a lot of goals.
I must say, Jerry Armstrong worked his socks off.
Yeah.
See, I'm never going to knock any of them players, because you get people you call Spurs players. He's a Spurs player.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Spurs player.
Yeah.
But don't say, why wasn't he? He tried. They all tried their best.
As long as they give
100%. But this wasn't good enough,
Yeah.
And God bless them, I would never knock them. I say, in my book, I said, I'm not going to name them, but they worked hard and they done as much as they could.
Yeah.
But what they was against was world-class players, though,
who
played 5 years, 6 years before that.
Yeah. What did you make of it in the Argentinians?
Brilliant.
Would you remember where you were when you heard about it? You must have thought it was
what? Well, you can see Ozzy playing, can't you? And I thought, these are good players.
So you'd watched him in the World Cup, of course.
Yeah.
Because that was the weird thing. That World Cup, 78... That team was a great team, they won the World Cup. But he was so visible, wasn't he? He was absolutely, Ardiles wasn't, he was such a visible, and he had a very distinctive look. So when, it wasn't like any other.
It was also such an incredible story. No one saw it coming.
No.
So I'd have been 12, or 11, and suddenly Spurs have signed two players from Argentina.
Yeah. It totally never happened before.
That was also, we just got... back in the top division,
just got promoted.
And it'd been nip and tuck as well.
Yeah.
Going down to the last game,
yeah.
And no one quite knew what it was going to be. And then suddenly everything felt as if it was changing. We were just those two signings.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we didn't really, because that's what I said earlier, sorry. Ricky and Ozzy, and then you had Archibald and Crooks.
Yeah.
See, that was the catch.
Oh, yeah.
They were the following year,
weren't they? We had two great midfield players. Yeah,
they joined in 1980.
Archibald with no score goals. Crooks runs his legs off for people.
Yeah.
He's going to be up there laying goals on or scoring goals. So that's four new players straight away.
Yeah,
two in midfield, two up front. You
and you've got Galvin coming through from the
Tony youth. Galvin and you know, Tony Galvin, what a player he was.
Yeah,
he could run all day, Tony. He was a terrific player.
Yeah, and a great acquisition because he was right under the radar. No one had heard of him.
No,
and suddenly he turns up.
Yeah,
he was another one who wasn't easily intimidated by all the stars around him. Tony
would say, that's black and white. That's black and white. But he's a character, Tony. But again, like Alfie Carney, you get him playing, but up and down that flank, strong as a lion. Strong as kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you could rely on him, you know.
Yeah. You said you felt, I mean, like I say, it's such a great era to play in, and you played throughout, you know, played a lot of games over a lot of seasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and you said you remembered so many great opponents, so many great teammates, and so many great games. What are the games that mostly, when you're reminiscing, what are the games that stick in your mind?
I think we've all got one game in particular.
Right.
That you feel was...
At the top
outstanding
of your
game. Like the best game probably you've had, the most satisfaction you got at a game,
and
it was Ipswich when they was top of the league, and I think they'd gone 15, 16 games unbeaten.
Yeah,
and we had a couple of youngsters come in. Can't think of his second name. Andy Keeley.
Oh yeah,
he'd come in, done a job on Woods, didn't he? And they had Mariner up front. With Weimark, so that was a top team, and we was like a bit of the poor relations because we're trying a few players and we're not sure. But hats off to all our players; they worked their socks off, and we beat them 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
But within the who did score the goal? That's a good question. No, I never scored.
Now,
you're looking for miracles. Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. I could have missed it, really.
But that was a good... That was for your... Personally, yourself, it was a great result for the team because Ipswich were a really, really good side. But for you, you felt like you played...
They was all a little bit lemon and dash. The Ipswich players.
How do you mean lemon and dash?
Flesh.
Right, okay, yeah.
That was the Ipswich players. They were this and we're that and all that.
Yeah.
And we're playing, it's about 25 minutes old, the game. And all of a sudden, he's broke away from midfield, Talbot.
Right.
I'm playing like double centre half with Keith Osgood. And I've read it. He's away. He's like, I'm here. He's over there.
Yeah.
So I've got to leave this player. Now I've got to run him down before he gets to our box. That's my target.
Right.
Pat's coming out. And I thought, I fancy I'm going to get him. And as he pulled back, I just went underneath him. Boom. Perfect, not a foul, took the ball out.
Right.
And 3 minutes later, Woods got through.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Woods, like a skillful player. I said, he's going to try it. Same thing, come off the left wing. We fell for it. And all of a sudden, I went bang, sprinted back past Pat. Pat's come out there. I'm past him now. I'm running back to the goal line because I know he's going to chip him.
Right.
And he chipped Pat, and I jumped up and...
Nodded it off the line.
No, nodding it back in the Pat's head.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I won't give it away.
Love it.
Oh, that's why it was my best game ever. I won't give it away.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I guess... you know, whatever level you play, some days it just all goes, you don't put a foot wrong, right?
And
it's nice to do it, like you say, against top opposition.
Top opposition, You got to do it against the best to be the best. You know?
What did you consider your best position? Because you said you could play for... I often thought of you as a fullback, but obviously you played centre-back a lot, and you said you even filled in once or twice in midfield, right?
I could read the game very well, and I was quick, so that puts you in for a centre-back you can get away with. You know, Mike England loved playing with me because I was quick. He won everything in the air. And I swept it up and back.
Right.
But what it gave me going fullback was an open range to steer down that right wing because not many left wingers are going to run back with you.
Yeah.
So I used to get plenty in the ball.
Yeah.
And when we was in the second division, me and Peter Taylor, we done that. Our side, we controlled it every.
Yeah.
Probably 34 games out of 40, you know, we controlled that right-hand side.
Yeah.
And the people on the left had the ump about it.
Why? Because they were just not seeing...
Jimmy Owens was a class player, yeah. Like a great defender and all that. But he said, we never come down the left. I said, what are you moaning for? We're 3-0 up. Like, yeah. You know, we're a team, aren't we? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And he had to acknowledge that.
So he's the left back. Who's the left winger?
I think...
Varied.
Varied, yeah. And also, I tell you, a great, great player at Tottenham, you know. He ended up going to Man City and he was...
Neil McNabb. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The one that got away.
Outstanding player. Yeah. You know, worked his socks off.
Yeah.
Really skillful. Lovely fella. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're the odd ones to keep.
He was the casualty of Ardiles coming in, really, wasn't he? Because he got in that provisional World Cup squad, the 40, not the 23 in 78. Just missed out in the actual squad.
Yeah.
And then he struggled to play the next season, didn't it? Also, didn't Terry Yorath come in soon after as well?
Terry Yorath, I mean, he was a weird boy, Terry Yorath, because he looked like he's a bit one pace, but he was a staunch midfield player, didn't give the ball away. Obviously, to play at Leeds and many of the games he played, he had to be very good.
Yeah.
He was a nice fella as well, Terry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he sort of come into the side, give it a bit more bite, if you like, because with Glenn Ozzie, Mickey Hazard and Ricky, you need someone who's going to get stuck in, don't you?
So, absolutely.
And that's what he
And
was
he was a one of those hard... He would put his foot in.
No, he'd win the ball and knock it off, wouldn't he? He'd done his job. He'd done a great job. Yeah, Terry Yorath, very good job.
Yeah. So, of course, eventually you moved on to Charlton.
Yes.
Do you remember how that came about? Were you sad to be leaving? Was it... Were you surprised or...
Well, that day I got up and I left Spurs and I had tears in my eyes.
Really?
And the wife said, what's the matter with you? I said, just caught my hand in the door. you've left a place where you've been for 12 years, like, 11 as a pro and 2 as an amateur. And that club, and glad. Pleasure to say it. You great supporters, the greatest in the country by a mile for me. Marvellous. You've got to leave all that and you just got a lump in your throat and say, okay, you know, what are you going to do? You've got to pick yourself up and carry on.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. So I went to Charlton and the first year I was there, we got promotion. The second year, I got player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The third year, I broke my leg pre-season. Right. So it was... when things get great, you come down, don't you? Something happens and I happened to break my leg. I was out like a year.
Was that Derek Hales? Was he there then?
Yeah, he's a lovely
guy. And Flanagan, was he there?
Flanagan. They used to have a few rounds.
They had a punch-up on the pitch, didn't they?
I think they
did. I always remember that.
Yeah.
Because that's a little collector's item, isn't it? Players who have a punch-up on the same team. I always loved those ones. Oh, you think him and Hales, and then there was. Do you remember when it was Lee Bowyer clouted Kieran Dyer, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then there was and Batty.
I was there in Moscow for Lasso and Batty.
Lasso had that terrible temper. Yeah. But so Charlton.
Good player, Lasso, wasn't he? Yeah.
But so you actually had a good Indian summer at Charlton, didn't you? You played over 70 games for him, didn't you?
Well, until I broke my leg.
Until you broke your leg, and that was it. That was it, right?
But. The satisfaction of sort of getting promotion and then getting player of the year, because there ain't too many players of the year.
Yeah,
it's a massive thing. All the supporters vote for.
Absolutely,
I was proud of that. You know, it was fantastic, and it proved the point that I was sort of still there. I was still ready to go.
Yeah,
but you get the cards dealt you, and you got to play the hand. At the end of the day, and that's what it's about, really.
Yeah. And you're watching Tottenham now, of course.
Of course, yeah.
And you touched on it earlier, but how good do you think this team is, and how good could it be, and how far do you think it can go?
Well, all judged on the manager, I think. You know, if you looked at, we got Mourinho just after he passed the madness test,
yeah,
and then it proved that he was mad. So yeah, go back.
Yeah.
And then you had Conte doing his crying and all that. And what's going on here? You know.
Yeah.
But, no, this fella is a breath of fresh air. And the reason he's a breath of fresh air, he loves the way that Tottenham supporters realise our club have always played.
Yeah.
And he plays that way. Attack, attack. All right, a bit risky at times, but what you have to do when you're attacking like Spurs are now, when they cut that ball out their defence, you've got to have really a defensive coach as well, because you shut the man down on the ball. What 90% of the teams do, you're coming through with the ball, they're backing off you like that.
Yeah.
Go to him, then he can come in here and he's got no outlets. But it's all to do with... I think if he got a defensive coach, I think we'd be even better.
Yeah.
We'd be even better. Taking up positions when you haven't got the ball and winning it back.
Mm.
And then the flair we got is fantastic.
Who are the players that really stand out for you? From a player's point of view, who do you look at and think... That is a player.
Well, you've got to put your hat off to Son, haven't you?
I mean,
he's done it week in, week out. He looks class. Romero, I've been waiting for him because I'm obviously being a defender, I love defensive player.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, come on, show them how to do it. Show them what they're doing wrong. You're not doing it. You're not doing it.
Mm.
But that was like sort of over the first sort of six games. Now, Romero, other than getting sent off, it's different class.
Yeah.
And the young centre half who's just come back from injury,
Van der Ven,
the Dutch boy, he's another class player. As Stevie said, the right back's playing very well.
Porro.
Yeah, I don't know about Royale and people like him.
Yeah.
And the kid from Denmark, but I do know that when they play, they've had a go.
Yeah,
and that's what you want. Come in.
Yeah.
And have a go. Let the skillful players do what they're good at.
Yeah.
Get the ball in the net, but we are the manager's brilliant with them. I think it's fantastic.
And how far do you think they can go?
Who knows? Put it this way, he won't be frightened no matter who he plays.
Mm.
Definitely not. Yeah. Ainge will not be frightened. He looks to play that way. He's made up his mind, and I think he's made a great decision.
Yeah.
Because we've always played with flair, Tottenham, haven't we? Obviously, there have been them empty years where we've lost it a bit, but I think he's going to get it back for us.
I mean, you're a defender, a very good defender, and you enjoy. And the way you talk about, you know, how you like to see good defending, it just shows you enjoyed the craft of defending.
Yeah.
But you look at this team now, this is an attacking team, and you look at the previous two teams, the Conte and the Mourinho teams, were basically defensive teams. As a defender, do you think I'd rather play in Postecoglou's team than in...
Well, if he'd have said to me, and if I was in the team that particular day, when he turned around Conte and says, listen, we're playing at home, save your energy till the second half.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'd have to say, we could be fucking, excuse me, we were fucking four down half time. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, how can you come out with a statement like that? And he meant it.
At home against ordinary teams.
And he meant it. And you're going, come on. You know, and that's when I knew Conte was gone as well, you know. Mm. We've had a couple of madmen and potentially a great manager.
Yeah.
We've found the right one out of three, and it was the unknown one.
Yeah.
But he looks the one to send us forward to me.
Yeah.
Is it easier, if you were playing today, would you rather play in that team? Right back, being asked to go into midfield more, as opposed to let's sit back and not play? I mean, how would you would you say, give me the responsibility, give me the ball. I want to be on this ball in this team. I want to play.
Yeah.
I want to get these people around me enjoying themselves again. Because
they are actually doing that, aren't they? That's exactly what they're doing. They're fearless. In possession, they're fearless, I think. See, it doesn't work with Son up in the middle. He has to come left side.
Yeah.
And then he can make, and he does, he makes marvellous runs. A lot of the things you don't see, the ball gets cut out. But he's such a fantastic player. He really is, you know. And Ricardson, all right, he might be like a bit 85 to 40. but you know, what you've got to realise, I think he scored six goals in the last eight games or something.
Six in six.
Well, bump him up. Let's all pick him up and say, you're our king now. Yeah. And I think he'd love it. I really think he'd love it. Going from his head being that he knows what he's done, he knows all the chances he's missed and the places he should have been running in. Because the man's strong, he's terrific in the air. He's got pace.
Yeah.
So he's got the things you need as a centre forward, and he hits the target.
Yeah.
So, no, I think we can say he's definitely a number nine, definitely a number nine, but he probably does too much defensively when we don't need him to. Stay up there, because when we clear our lines, you're going to be there.
Right.
But obviously, the manager said, no, I want us all behind the ball when we're defending, and it's working. Yeah. Well,
it means you can break into that more space as well. Yeah. That's the thinking behind
You've got a bigger space in front, and the way... I've got to be honest, the way that we pass the ball out is better than any team in the league, I think. We play our way out. It gives me kittens, like watching the goalkeeper.
You do watch it between your fingers,
yeah,
don't you?
All of us are the same, aren't we? Don't do it. And they always seem to come out of it. So
There was a couple on Sunday, and I was watching it, and it gets played into Bentancur, and he's got two men around him, and he just backs himself to find the pass. Yeah. Thinking, how can you do that? There's no doubt at all in his mind.
A marvellous individual skill. His skills he's got is fantastic skill. Of course, you need your graft, like Skip, what you're saying. You know, I don't know what Skip's talking about the hotel ain't good enough or something.
No, Spence, that was, Spence, yeah.
But he's the grafter of the team. Get in there, Skip, and graft. Yeah. He's quite a good athlete. He's a very good athlete.
Yeah.
Use his athleticism, like, and his running ability and all that to shut people down.
Yeah.
And he can blend in there as well. So we've got skill, we've got pace, and we've got strength at the back.
Yeah. And was it Skip who played the amazing pass?
The ball to Verley,
Yeah. Really so he's got, he can. He is a good footballer as well, isn't he?
He did, well, when he was at Norwich, he did really well.
Yeah, they loved him. He's another one who got player of the season, didn't he, out there on loan. So maybe there's still time for Skip to really come through, which
we'll
is why...
about 26?
No, he's younger than that. He must be only like 22, 23, I think.
Well, he's still a baby, and he's still learning.
And that's why they'll more likely let Højbjerg go. They get more money for him, and he's a lot older, and maybe keep Skip.
And also, they only spent 13 on Højbjerg, so they'll make money out of the side.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. But the way, you know, it's lovely to hear how enthusiastic you are about this team. And thinking about the sort of player that you were, you had pace... You could read the game.
Yeah.
You know. Lucky. You'd have loved it, wouldn't you?
I'd love to have played in this team.
And you know, and you played a bit in midfield because you were capable of doing that. So that idea of a fullback who was encouraged to get involved in midfield, you could have done all of that as well.
Bill Nicholson in Europe, he'd say to me, right, you're going to go in and mark their best player in midfield.
Right.
And I've done it a couple of times, you know, and we played the... Leipzig, and had a player called Asimovic, very classy player. And Bill Nixon went to me, hey, Naylor, come here, Ivan. I don't want this fella playing. And I looked around, I thought, what are you talking about? I don't want him playing, all right? I went, okay, Bill. And it's got a register, I'm a bit slow. Oh, okay, got it. Anyway, perfect. 4 minutes gone. Just lost the ball, and as he's gone after it, I've come in there. And as I've got to the ball, I've just let him beat me. Bang! Didn't even give a free kick. Ball went out, walked off, limped off.
That was it for him.
We drew 1-1. We beat him 2-0 at Spurs, didn't we?
Yeah, right.
When we got back in the dressing room after the game, and Bill Nick talking, yeah, he went to me. Well done. And just carried on. Bill wouldn't be known to say, you take a man out, so you say, well done. And that was how classy he was.
Yeah.
I was so lucky to be with the greatest, you know, the great people that I've been. It's fantastic.
Yeah, a man of few words.
Yeah.
But you knew what he meant.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Terry, just before we're going to finish up, but I don't want to keep you too long, but before we do that, it's traditional for us always to ask, just sum up for us what Tottenham Hotspur means to you.
You talking to me or the crowd?
Definitely you.
No, I am over the moon, absolutely. As I say, we had Mourinho and then we had Conte and we was going nowhere and I thought, this ain't good. The other mob was getting a bit stronger. And all of a sudden, we've found the right manager to manage the right team who had the bottle, really, to saying, yes, Harry Kane can go. You know, whether we need the money or not, the point is the way we're going to play might not suit him, or it might. But to me, Harry would be a great player, an asset to any team, whoever he played for, any team in the world. But he's got them boys buzzing, and the worse than... better than the boys buzzing on the field, he's got the supporters buzzing. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that that we've always had at Tottenham. We've always had that footballing team on the attack all the time. Mm. And we've got some lovely players, and we've got quite a young side as well.
Yeah.
So, as I say, the only problem for me, we need another four players. 14's not enough. You've got to have at least 18, 20. Mm-hmm.
But for that's, you and you're born with a club,
yeah,
goes back for 50 years now.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When people say to you, what was it like to play for Tottenham Hotspur?
An honour.
And what does it mean to have been, you know?
Yeah, everything. Football was everything for me. It was lovely. It was fantastic. And as I said, you know, the better players you play with, the better you play. And that's how you improve along the way. And we did. We had like world-class players in that. The first team I ever went in, and looking round, you was in awe. But you couldn't. You had to go out and wake up, because you've got to go out and perform with that team. And you've got to earn all of them players' respect. Look, get you respected by them, as well as, and much as you know, they're great players.
So what I think the question is here, you played for Tottenham, you know, you had the skills, you had everything, you had to be that defender. So, in what they say, what did it mean to you to actually play for Tottenham Hotspur?
It was an honour. Yeah.
Mean to you now?
Yeah, it's an honour, mate. You know, and to say that I was a Spurs player, you know, I feel so proud. You know, and it's, you got to go through the badness and then comes the goodness. But you have to take it. You can't just go against your team. Oh, yeah, no. They've come through and they've come through. Touch wood now, we've had two sort of managers on their way out and we've now got a fantastic manager. So there's no excuses. All we need is them four extra players in our squad to give us the strength and mobility to carry out the end of the season. That's what we need, to my opinion.
Terry, your excellent book is called Nutter Nailer, right?
Yes.
Why were you called Nutter Nailer?
That's a good question. I think I was unpredictable, really. A bit unpredictable.
Well, Terry, I cannot thank you enough for coming along again tonight. You're always such riveting company, brilliant stories, and it's an honour for us to be in the presence of someone who gave such great service to Tottenham Hotspur. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you. Thanks, bruv. Thank you. Always a crowd. You know me. Come on, what?
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.